Let me meet this young lady. I'm Alex. What's your name? Madison. How old are you? 16. Okay, you know, when I was 16, I was the exact age you are now. I'm serious. Who's someone? Where's Carl at? Can I shake your hand? Kyle, I mean. I haven't met you yet. Shake your hand here. All right. Are you still single? Are you? Okay. When I was single, I was as single as you. But I promise, you don't always have to be single. And there's hope, okay? There's a lot of single ladies over here, so keep your eyes open. Okay, let's get started here. Before we get started, I looked over here and I saw a bunch of ladies here. Ladies, you are very beautiful, okay? And y'all look me in the eye when I speak, and you're very beautiful. And I mean that. Men, you are not very beautiful. And I mean that. But you're masculine. And being masculine is beautiful in today's world. We're going to address a little bit of both of those. And God's created us to be men and women. And if you're not sure if you're a man or if you're a woman, ask me and we can tell very quickly. But that's something that people are even disrupting all of that and messing that up and saying what is real, even the physiological. So I have a very, it's not really a slide, just kind of a PowerPoint, very basic off of iPhone here. We're going to go through some things. Hopefully it'll all make sense. So the question is, why be real? Today's world is looking for authenticity in everything, and they've given us a lot of ways to try to do that, to be real, be authentic. They've given us social media and apps, and there's actually a Be Real app, and so if any of y'all want to take a selfie for your Be Real app, go ahead and do that, because how cool would that be? You took a picture of your Bible school and, you know, on Friday, everybody else is working. It'd make you look really holy, so you can do that. But the cool thing about that app, I don't have it, but I understand it works, is you take a picture, gives you a time slot throughout the day, and it's supposed to catch you at your just everyday moments. A lot of social media, you post your best picture, your vacation, your coolest coffee drink. But the Be Real is trying. It's a man-made way of trying to get people to post just what's happening when they're sweaty and grimy. And it's not a bad app. It's kind of neat, actually. So anyway, we're going to talk a little more in depth, but we need to be real. Here's a little picture of my little girl, Haley. Did you know a little child is one of the most real people you will look at? They are just real. They can't fake a whole lot. When they're mad, they're mad. When they're happy, they'll grin like crazy. At this young age, they're not really good at lying. You know how they feel. That's just how they are. And Jesus said, become like little children. And there's a reason for that. That doesn't mean throw a fit when you're mad, but it means if you're feeling frustration, you're feeling angry, calm down and then talk about it. Just kind of be real about where you're at. That's what I love about little children. Okay, I used to have a handle on life, but the handle broke off. You ever see those people that got it together? This topic is not about getting it all together. Sometimes the handle breaks off, and we have to learn to be okay with that. Okay, back to social media. I'm kind of hitting on this because social media is to portray who we are, who we want people to think we are. One of the best pictures you can post on your social media is get up at 5:30 or 5 and get up as the sun's coming up and go out there and you get your Bible and you lay it on the picnic table and put your coffee drink right here, maybe a little succulent plant. You take a picture and you post it and everybody knows you read your Bible in the morning. Now here we go right here. My wife's coffee art, by the way. She's great. I took this one this winter. It was so picturesque. I had to take a picture and send it to my family. But the world is doing all kinds of things to show people that I'm real. I am a Christian. I read my Bible. I spend time doing good things. And it's okay to post pictures like that. So just remember, if you're posting pictures like that, are you being real? Are you actually living that life? Or are you just, you know, reading your Bible once a week and making sure you take a picture of it? Okay, swap back here. How can it be real when so much is fake? There's so much fakeness in this world. So you ever hear of Hollywood? If you talk to Hollywood actors or you do any background search, that is all fake. 98% of the movies are fake. No one can jump out of a skyscraper with a car and drive off, you know, without going to the hospital. You can't take 3 rounds to the stomach and get up and run half a mile most times you can, unless you're on adrenaline. You don't get hit over the head with a crowbar, knocked out, and get up, you know, 30 seconds later and continue fighting. That's all movies. Well, the world has taken some of this stuff and saying how we should be. You know, they say you should be like this, and it's kind of fake. All right, stop thinking of what you think other people are thinking. You ever do this? I do it. Still do it. I'm wondering what you're thinking. You sometimes set up your life or the way you act by how you think other people think you should be. You ever face that, or am I abnormal? And I can't give you 5 steps to get out of that thinking pattern, but it's something we all deal with that I want you to know. That you're not weird if you're facing that. Okay, let me see what the next one is. Okay, what makes someone seem like the real deal? Just think about that question for a little bit. So I have another question here. It's not on my screen, but it says, what would be the point of God putting billions of people on the earth, giving each one of them a DNA that is unique only for them, and then giving that individual a personality and some amazing gifts? We all have that. And then tell that person to simply go exist to an old age and don't think too deeply on why I created you. Why would God do that? In short, why should we attempt to be real, the person and individual God created us to be? That's the question I want you to think about. And Jason, I like your message. God uses very unusual people sometimes for his work. He chose a bunch of sailors, probably coarse men that probably weren't well at speaking. Then he also chose some smooth talkers, your publicans and those guys. And then he chose some emotional and even violent men. Peter was one of those. And he's going to train them. He's going to, you know, show them how to live. And he's like, all right, now I need you to do my work. And the cool thing about it is you can take any of these people, and if they're filled with the Holy Spirit, God uses all those little differences, the weirdos, the weirdness, and he puts it to work, and it's a beautiful thing. Peter could not have been a James, trying to be a James and done the work he did. James was, I understand, a little more soft-spoken maybe. Peter was outspoken. God needed both of them. Okay, let's keep moving here. Go back to this one. What makes somebody seem like the real deal? And are you real, or do you just think you're being real? These are just questions we need to think about. Okay, we're going to hold that right there. I want you to think about that question. So God created man. In Genesis 1, it says he created male and female. And he created them very uniquely. He created them with purpose. And I want you to think about something. I heard this just recently. If there's 50 people in the room, God thinks of you as 50 different individuals. He doesn't just lump you all in here as a bunch of, you know, just happy homo sapiens and said, I think of you all the same. No, he sees us all as being on a journey. So I want you to remember that God thinks of you as an individual. It's important to remember that. So God created this man and this woman, and the plan was going perfectly. It's going very well. I don't know how long it was from the time of creation to the time they fell. It might have been a little while. It sounds like it was just a couple days, but I think it was more than that. And then man sinned, and things were no longer perfect. We started living in a broken world. And that's where all of you are born. You're born into a broken world. With broken systems. And now insecurities are something we deal with. Okay, I still have insecurities, okay? I do. And that's okay. It's okay to have some of that. One thing I find, though, is as I walk closer with Christ and I come to Jesus every day and I say, Jesus, I kind of need help again today, he takes a little bit more of that away. Because you just start realizing that this is kind of who God created me to be, and my insecurities start leaving because my security is now in Christ. So that's probably one of the biggest steps to being what I call being real. Okay. Did you know God loves weirdos? Wilson, you should say thank you. I'm as well. Some of the people God uses, like I said earlier, they were different. But inner differences, inner weirdness, God loves that if we're willing to be used by him. Think about that. Okay, so here's the greatest commandment. God has said, love me, love people. That's about it. And if we actually get that right, we actually really understand what it feels like to love God and have him love us in return, that's actually something I have to grow in as well, as feeling God's love in my heart. Like how much he actually loves me. When you start getting that, some of this stuff start coming together a little better. Okay, let's move on to this slide. What does forgiveness have to do with being real? And as I was kind of thinking and studying about it, this kind of was one of the first things that came to me, was the thing of forgiveness. I don't know if any of y'all have ever dealt with bitterness or unforgiveness. It really messes up your perception on life. So without forgiveness, we can't truly walk in the light. And let me explain a little bit about that. You know what a reactionary state of mind is? So if I don't forgive somebody, I often subconsciously start thinking about that person. So John made me mad. He was leading songs, and I thought he did it kind of in a bad way. So whenever I get up to lead songs, I'm going to try to do it not like John did. Even though he's a better song leader than me, way better. Appreciate that. It's a gift I want. I'm working on it. But I start focusing my song leading not on how can I do it better, it's how can I not do it like John did it. And you'll see that in individuals. You'll see that in homes with children. They're going to be like not like my dad or not like my mom. And you'll even see it in churches. It's all over. You'll see churches, or you know, they say, well, we're not going to be like this church, so we're going to be like this. And what that does is it takes the focus off of Christ, and the devil loves it because you're not focusing on Christ. If we're not focused on Christ, we cannot actually be the real deal what he wants us to be. So back to this thing of unforgiveness, there's a thing called a victim mentality as well when you're hurt, and we all have hurts, okay? It's normal to have hurts. It's just how we deal with them that makes a difference. A victim mentality is I grew up in a, you know, you say you grew up in a rough home, and my dad and I didn't get along. He was a little bit coarse. And so now that's the reason I'm a weak man. That's the reason I can't lead out very well, is because I was what's the word? When someone speaks evil of you, or I was degraded as a child, you know. I wasn't, by my father. I had a great father, by the way. But we face that. And you know, someone says something bad about you when you're young, it hurts and it stays with you. That's a victim mentality. Or this, you see this thing all the time, well, I was raised poor, therefore I can never get ahead. That's not true. That's living in a victim mentality. And there's people that say, well, when I was younger, I was told I can't do stuff well. And so that's the rest of their life, they just don't do stuff well. You know, that's where the devil wants to keep us. I'm not saying you can't be a Christian if you're dealing with this, but if you can find freedom through that, the joy and the peace that comes breaking away from that is tremendous. So this week, actually, I was talking with a friend of mine. He's an older guy. He's close to 60. And we were talking a little bit about my topic, talking about forgiveness. And he said he thought he had forgiven people in his past. He had some stuff, especially with the church and some stuff when he was younger. And he was like, he thought he had forgiven some men. And he said, just not long ago, I mean, a year or two ago, I forget how long, God showed him in a dream that there seems like there's some unforgiveness in his life yet. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because it can be very subtle that we have unforgiveness. And so the next morning, it was a Saturday morning, he got up early and he was continued thinking about it. And there was his son was there and a friend that was a man that was on fire for God. Both of them were. And they were outside that morning, I think, drinking coffee. And he said, guys, I had this dream and he said, it's bothering me. Would y'all mind just praying with me or something? And so they said, sure, we'll pray with you. And so they actually just laid hands on him and they started praying. And he said, as they were praying, he said, names started coming to his mind of way past, like when he was 18 to 20 years old. And he said, he thought he'd forgiven some of these. And so he started just out loud, asking for forgiveness for these people. And he said, he started doing that and more names came. And he said, after a while, yeah, there's stuff, like, he just started feeling free, just very free. And he said he thought he had forgiven everybody. He didn't realize how deep that had been. And that was his experience. And he said just not too long ago, he actually walked back into one of those men's houses that he had unforgiveness. And he said, I walked into his house, hadn't seen him for a while. He said there was nothing there. He said it was just complete peace about that person. And he said then he felt like he really experienced forgiveness. And I just, not quite that dramatic. I didn't have men necessarily lay hands and pray on me, but when I was 20 or 21, I was at CBS, and we had a topic on forgiveness, and I never really thought about it that I had unforgiveness. I think I did. And after the topic, all of a sudden, as they were speaking, God put a name in my mind and said, you have unforgiveness towards this person. I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't realize that. And I actually felt like I should write a letter home from CBS and tell that man I had unforgiveness and I'm sorry. And I did. And it freed me up. And then I never heard back. And a while later, I went, talked to the individual, and I said, hey, did you get it? He said, yeah, I did. And he was very nice. And we just had a talk. And I said, I just wanted you to know I don't have anything against you. And it kind of just freed my mind. So sometimes unforgiveness is very, very hidden. But there's a lot of people that are not living their fullest life because there's unforgiveness. And it's incredible when you truly find it. And I think it's good to say, God, I don't think there is, but if there is, can you please show me? Because that's one sin I think is going to keep people out of heaven, that they don't realize, or they're not willing to acknowledge and dig deep and find it. So anyway, you want to find freedom? Find forgiveness. Okay, on from forgiveness, let's move on to this. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And this is probably one of the harder things to do if you want to be real. See, this physical and spiritual is so tied together. It's being a real person and being a real Christian are so intertwined. You can't really separate them. But this thing of walking in the light, it's a journey we grow in. You're not going to get it all right in the first week. But it's something that the more you do it, the more you like it. This is found in John, walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And then it says, the blood of Christ cleanses us. But there's something about walking in the light and having fellowship that goes so together. You know how it is if you're hiding something in your life? When I'm hiding stuff, I don't want to be with people. I really don't want to be with people, especially people that might want to speak into my life or maybe ask me some hard questions. And I've been there. I've had stuff in my life for years that was just kind of there, and I wasn't dealing with it. And then all of a sudden you find freedom. Man, you just want to go talk with everybody. You want to hang out with everybody. And you just want people to, you want to have good discussions, good talks. So everyone you meet is either in a battle, just got through a battle, or is fixing to face a battle. That's pretty much all across the board. So if you just came through a battle, just so you know, there's probably another one coming. And maybe you're not quite in one yet. The person you meet might be in a battle, and that's okay. That's called life. That's called the Christian life. But if you're facing something, maybe you're struggling, you're not quite having victory how you want it. I'm going to tell you this. The reason you're struggling is because you still want to do what's right. It's okay to struggle a little bit. Okay, that's normal. But if you continue struggling and you're not asking for prayer, you're not being open about it, that's when you're not truly walking in the light. If you continue in that state. You follow me? And so, just so you know, though, if you're dealing with something, that is very normal. If you're in a battle. If you meet a person that you think has it all together, right here. You ever meet those people? what do you think about that? You're like, I want to be like that? We have this thing sometimes where all my friends are naughty, but I'm the holy one, and I have it together. When I meet people like that, I'm not attracted to that. That doesn't make me think of Christ necessarily. Because often what comes across is that I'm better than you. I don't struggle, and you have issues. The mind of Christ is, I'm having victory through the blood of Jesus, but I understand what you're dealing with. You're just not a holier than thou. Excuse me. So one way I dealt with walking in the light a little bit was finding someone that I could talk with, very straightforward. And I would advise, if you can, if you're a youth, find someone, maybe someone a little older that's been through some of those things, and just sit down and talk. It might be a struggle. It might even be a past abuse of some kind. There's verbal abuse. There's sexual abuse. There's physical abuse where you get hit or someone may beat you. I would say, Dave, find someone and talk about it. Don't hold that stuff in. That's some stuff that happened against you that maybe wasn't even your fault. But that's part of walking in the light. And it's not easy to do that. But the devil wants us to keep those hidden because he knows we as humans, individuals, are not able to carry that weight by ourselves. Okay, so I want you to just do that. Talk to someone. It's not easy. Okay, I know what it's like. But talk to someone. Get someone to pray with you. And sometimes it's continuing to work through that. Some people go to counselors. Counselors are okay, but the counselors don't know you. I would advise going to someone maybe that knows you, someone that you trust, and work through that thing. Okay, after you're done working through something, maybe that's something that maybe happened to you and you're dealing with unforgiveness, something a friend just showed me the last year or two, we were talking, and I kept kind of bringing something up. He said, if you've really forgiven, why do you keep bringing it up? Why do you like talking about that? And that hit me hard. I was like, okay, I must not have true forgiveness. So you know what I'm saying? So if someone has done something, you've forgiven, quit bringing it up. And if you keep wanting to bring it up, keep asking God to keep forgiving you. And keep, you know, keep walking in that light. Okay, I mentioned a little bit about the spiritual and the physical. So we had this thing where we kind of, I feel like we try to separate them a little bit. And God's, in the kingdom, God didn't actually want us to do that like we do it today. You know, we get up and we go to work on Monday through Friday. And Saturday comes home and comes along. We kind of chill out Saturday. And then we dress up Sunday. And maybe Sunday afternoon or something, you go out and witness to people. And then Monday morning, you get up and you go the whole week. And you don't tell anybody about Jesus. And you kind of just keep your own boat afloat. And then Sunday comes along and you go and go to church and you go sing at the nursing home. And it's categorized. We have the spiritual and then we have the physical. And I think y'all do well in mixing that up, like from the youth I've seen here. And I want y'all to keep doing that. Keep integrating the life of Christ into your week. And we're going to get a little bit more on that, how God wants to use us and our personalities to do that. And it's a beautiful thing if you let God. All right, let's keep moving here. Okay, I have some things here. What does one have to do to be cool? You can't talk about being real without being cool. I like to be cool. I wish I was cooler. Where do we ever get the word cool? C-O-O-L. What does one have to do to be cool? Let me know. Anybody? Be real. All right. I thought it was what I wore. I was hoping my shoes would be cool enough. We have this thing, and there is always going to be some people that other people like hanging out with more than others. That is called life. That's normal. What we don't have to do is always be trying to align ourselves with those people that have that. Okay? And how can I say this? Those people might not even be trying to be cool, okay? Often we think the cool group, well, they're just trying to be cool. Yeah, there's usually several individuals that are, but there's some people that they aren't. People just like them. And usually the reason people like them is because they're pretty good at just being who God created them to be. Okay, one thing about it. Yeah, what do you have to do to be cool? Right here is one of my favorite paradoxes. Go ahead and read it. The geezer's paradox. It's a beautiful thing. And you can actually learn this before you're mid-20s and married. You can learn this before you're married. Okay? So, along with this, I want you to think about something. People say, you be you. Okay? Okay, you like to sleep in the morning. You don't like to get up and do things. You be you. Oh, I have a little problem with that. Okay, there's some things that we need to accept about ourselves. This is the way I am. And there's other things that we need to change and quit you being you and sleeping in every morning. Okay? Quit being this person. Quit being grouchy in the morning. And quit, you know, you don't like mornings or people. I want us to take a real look at our life and say, you know, this is the way God created me. I'm okay with this, but there's some things and maybe I need to work on my character or some of my habits. Okay? Do that. Look into your life. Look for those things. But do not sit and criticize yourself all the time, because maybe you get nervous when you get up in front to sing, or you get up front to talk, or maybe you don't connect with people as well as this other person. Those are some things you have to accept, but work on them. But it's like you have to realize, God, I'm just needing your help. But these big things here, just change them. Okay, there's something else you're going to do. At least I do. When I see a trait in somebody, I try to copy it. Okay? Some of y'all have some gifts I really want. Jason, you have the gift of, portraying your thoughts well, and I want that gift. Julie, you have the thing of connecting with people well. I want that gift. And John, I want your gift of being able to do music. And so one thing we sometimes do is we try to become like that person. And I don't want you to do that. Don't try to become like that person. Now, you can say, I like that gift and I want that. But when you start becoming like that person, then you start imitating. And that's not being who Christ wants you to be. Because you can only be that certain way in the way God created you. You might be able to connect with people better than you can now, but it's going to be in a way that's unique to you. And God wants to use that for you. You still awake? Still good? Okay. If you need some coffee, go get some coffee. So anyway, that's just normal to try to want to imitate people. One thing about this right here, if you don't like mornings, that's one thing. If you don't like people, that is another thing. There are some people, you have introverts, you have extroverts. I'm a little bit more of an extrovert than my wife. She's a little more of an introvert. It's a good thing I didn't marry an introvert, because I need someone that listens when I talk. And my wife is really good at that. And her strength is listening to people and going one-on-one very well. Okay, that's something I admire in her. I'm learning to do that better, is to listen better. If there's someone that does not like people and they say, well, I'm just not a people person, or I am an introvert, I have a problem with that. Okay, let me explain. The life of Christ was all about people. That's what it was. And so if someone does not like people, my question is, do you really like Christ? Do you really love Christ? Because the more you love Christ, the more you love people. I guarantee it. You will actually, there's sometimes you might need to take a little break, but you will not be what I call not a people person. You will be a people person. You might not be a loud people person. You might not be in the middle of the crowd, but you will just love being with people. And if you're not, then just say, hey, God, I'm not a people person, but I want to be because I love you. I think I love you. But it's okay to just check your heart. Talk to God. Be very real to God. I have this mindset sometimes that God looks at me and you're a little Mennonite boy. Okay, now you need to act like a little Mennonite boy because that's how Mennonite boys do. Okay, I'm a Mennonite. It's God, where God put me, and I'm thankful for it. But what that does not mean is that I have to conform to a certain way of doing things or a certain way of speaking or praying, especially. You know, some people can get up and they pray, and you ever hear people pray for meals? I listen to it. It's so interesting. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, and bless our hands and hearts that have prepared it, and just go with us as we lead and guide us and as we continue on our way, basically. And those prayers are okay. We hear them 1,000 times. But when you're praying in your personal time, I would advise just being very real about what you're facing that day or that week. Man, God, my employees, they are making me mad every day. So can you please change them or change my heart? And often it's your heart. Or something else, when you pray, John Ace actually told me this one time. He said, if he's learning as you pray to kneel on the floor or actually lay face down. Okay, we're going off on a bunny trail here. What that does, it puts your body in a place before God where you're humbling yourself before God, and then you can actually be very real. You cannot cry out to God and beat the floor when you're sitting on your chair. It's okay to cry out and beat the floor when you're praying, and it's easier to do that when you're laying down. Don't do that every time you pray, then you have something else to work through. But God wants us to be real, okay? God wants us just to say it how it is. He already knows what we're thinking. So, man, we could get off on prayer. I prayed for my wife. Very specifically. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe have some discussion about Wilson's topic there. Be very honest with God. Okay, let's move on. Talk a little bit about men and women. Oh, man, this looks like fun. Here's the question of the day. What happened to men who shoot guns and mud wrestle? This is maybe not quite literal, but my question is, what is happening to true masculinity? We are under major attack today about being real men for God and just real men in general. The world system is fighting against it. They know if they can take it this down, they got a good step on the rest of the life, or rest of the world. The world is saying men should be passive. We're supposed to hide in our man buns and our sweatpants. And they say, do that. That's what you need to be like. And I'm sick of it. Thankfully, I don't see any sweatpants here, guys. I appreciate the masculinity I see. Keep it up, okay? Another thing, this is okay. Sit down and talk about your feelings. That's okay some, but after a while, quit just talking about your feelings and get up and do something. That's what us men are supposed to do. We're supposed to lead. Next one is, where can we find a real lady? Well, it looks like there's a bunch of real ladies here. Guys, pay attention again. So, where can we find a real lady? The world's also trying to take that out. And the world's trying to tell ladies, you need to lead out. You need to go out and get a job. You need to be a provider. And now they're actually, some of the ladies are trying to be protectors. You see how that ended with, you know, the shooting at Trump. Ms. Cheadle felt bad for her. She got roasted by the entire Senate, basically, or Congress. She was trying to be a provider and a protector for men. Not trying to, you know, speak ill of her, but it doesn't work as well when ladies try to provide and protect. Now, ladies, I'll tell you this. You're single. It's okay to get a job. Maybe even work towards a career of nursing or something. Actually, I'm a big fan of that. Just know God might have something different for you down the road called marriage. And if he does, you might have to lay that aside just a little bit. But there is a big push towards ladies to get a career. Don't have any children. Well, if you get married, keep your career. Don't have any children. That's not really what God is asking. So back to men. As the world takes away or starts undermining men, what happens is it makes it hard for the women to be who they should be. If men are not leaders, you know who's going to step up? Right here. Ladies just take on, and they do a good job of it. Sometimes there's ladies that almost do better than us men in leading out. Men often are first thing. Okay, step back just a little bit. If men are not doing well spiritually, often men become passive. I don't know if you face that or not. When I'm not doing well, I don't want to lead out. That puts me in the forefront. People are going to be, you know, critiquing me. And I can't lead because I'm not free. So, man, walk in the light as much as possible. You'll be better leaders because of it. And when you're better leaders, help the ladies be more real as well, tremendously. When you're out, okay, this is just some very quick examples. When you're out, you guys are in charge of volleyball. You're doing great, by the way, last night. After the game, it's time to renumber. Guys are goofing off like us guys do. Say, hey, guys, get in a line right now. Okay, the guys line up. The ladies are probably going to be waiting till y'all guys line up until they do. Just kind of how it works. And then the guys in charge just number off and keep going. It's a very, very simple example. But the guys in charge is passive and doesn't want to, you know, tell anybody what to do. He kind of walks over there and expecting people to get in a line. Sometimes you have to just raise your voice and tell people what to do. Not in an obnoxious way. Obnoxious is not masculine, okay? Just so you know. So when men don't lead, it also makes women insecure. Is that true? Okay, maybe some heads are nodding a little bit. When y'all guys don't lead out, it feels weird for ladies to try to lead out, okay? They really don't want to. They want a guy to step up and say, this is kind of how it is. Now, as you're doing that, make sure you do get the ladies' opinion on some things. That's okay. Say, hey, what do the ladies think? But stop basing your opinions on what the ladies think, okay, and how you lead. Just stop it. There's an incredible example in the Bible of when this happens. Men becoming passive, women controlling. Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab, I don't know what happened to the guy, but he was passive. Seemed like his whole leadership, you know, in the kingdom most of the time. Excuse me. Jezebel then steps up, and she starts taking over, and starts running the show, and things kind of went into chaos. And one thing you'll notice: as soon as we stop walking in the light, we stop dealing with unforgiveness in our hearts. I think this is okay for both genders. We both deal with selfishness. That's probably one of the first things we deal with. Men stop wanting to lead. They want to stop protecting women, and they start taking advantage of women. whether it's physically and or sometimes it's just, you know, manipulating them to do what they want. That's often what happens. Selfishness is the first thing that raises its head, seems like it. Same way for women. They often start manipulating and trying to get their way. Making sense? So back to the men here, lead, provide, and protect. We talked about lead. We talk about providing. Men, just especially when you're married, you're the guy in charge of finances. Make the money. Protect your wife. Protect her physically. Protect her spiritually. Protect her emotionally. So we could go off quite a bit on these. Protect her physically, yeah. That's one I'm not going to get into. I might have some differing views in some people. I do believe in protecting spiritually is extremely, extremely important. Guys, girls, first of all, when you're looking for a guy to be married to, and you are, be praying for someone that loves God and loves leading out spiritually. If a man does not lead out spiritually, one thing that's going to happen is your dating's probably might go okay. First year or two of marriage might go okay. But after a while, things start to kind of disintegrate. And if he's not leading out spiritually, your children, for one, won't have that spiritual leadership. And also, it's a sign that he's probably not doing too well spiritually. Okay, if he's not leading out. The guys, this is something we grow in. We're used to, you know, kind of doing our own thing. When you get married, when I say leading out spiritually, it's just like having time you read and pray together. This starts when you're dating. Sorry, Wilson, we're getting the dating thing. I won't stay there. Lead out in prayer when you're dating, guys. That's your job. Whether it's at the beginning of the date, at the end of the date, whatever, do that. It brings security to your girl. Another way of leading out spiritually is when you are, maybe someone wants to come up and talk to you. Lead out in the conversation, especially if someone has questions about the Christian life or anything. Men, lead out. Don't expect your wife to answer all the questions. Well, I'm drinking a lot of water here. There's one thing that I faced before I was married about being a man. There is a large vacancy in our soul, in our innermost being, that can only be filled with God. So I remember sometimes very well, I'd be on vacation or somewhere, and Austin, I just got this feeling. It's like, man, I just have this deep longing for something. And sometimes I'd go out down by the water or go on a walk, and I'd just be thinking about this, and it was kind of an ache. And I thought it was maybe God speaking this, Alex, it's time to get married. Okay? And so I would talk to God a little bit about that. And then I just started realizing more and more what that is my soul longing for God tremendously. Because after I got married, I have a beautiful wife, a wonderful wife. We love spending time together. But sometimes I still get that feeling, just that deep longing in my soul. And it's like I almost have to go by myself for a little bit. And that's God, my soul just longing for God. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, if you can learn this before, you know, before you get a lot older, that longing is God just crying out to you, saying, hey, come closer to me. And it's normal. It's very normal to have that. Okay, as you seek God and let him fill that longing, it's another step to becoming the real man and a real woman he created you to be. And that's the whole point of being real. You're just becoming more and more who God wants you to be. Okay, we talked about this. All right. Awkward. When a guy or girl meet, who should make the move for the handshake? The guys. Girls, what is it? What do you prefer? Or would you prefer no handshake? The guy? Are you okay with guys come up to you and like, hey, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you? Or would you rather they just kind of stand there and, what's your name? I mean, for real, what would you prefer? You prefer a handshake? Okay, that was one. What about someone else? Handshake? Okay. So guys, it's okay to shake hands. You can actually hold their hand for 1 second. Okay, I'm just, but don't be scared to shake hands. And okay, just quick off side trail here. That is actually a primal instinct. When you meet someone, you have that connection, that skin-to-skin connection, just a second. It makes something bond just real quick. Do it when you meet a girl. Do it when you meet a guy. That's something that I think is important. Acknowledge that as another human is something that is actually has a, it's a really good thing to do. Guys, when you sit down at a table, like you're doing now this weekend, and you're here, and this girl across there, she's a really good-looking girl, and you set your plate down and you sit down, you have about 10 seconds where you lose an opportunity to be a man. And that is, you set your plate down, you sit down, maybe take a drink of water to dry your, you know, I mean, wet your dry tongue, and then you say, I'm Alex, what's your name? Okay? And then they say your name, and you've broken that little barrier of awkwardness. But do that in the first 5 to 10 seconds. It'll make your whole meal better. Okay? And it should be us men that initiate that. If we don't, ladies, give us a count to 10 and then you ask. Okay? You can, it's okay if you do it. But men should be. It's just nicer. Ladies like that better. Okay? Define awkward. Anybody define awkward? This is awkward. To somebody, what's awkward? Silence. Yeah. How can we avoid awkward? Keep talking. What's your thoughts? How can we avoid awkward? Someone say something. Being real. Okay. That you, Bert? Who shared that? Okay. You can avoid awkward by being real, being just genuine. But there's also this thing where we can't necessarily always avoid awkwardness. And you have to be okay with that. Okay? It's okay if things a little bit. Like maybe you said something weird. So just laugh about it, okay? Say, oh, that was kind of awkward. People don't really care. So that's my thoughts on that. There's times when you're going to be at public speaking, guys especially, and you're going to maybe drop something or do something funny without trying. Just acknowledge it. Pick up what you dropped. And make a joke or something and keep going. It's just really awkward when you just try to avoid the issue and everybody's scared you're going to step all over your notebook. Just pick it up and keep moving. Okay, this is continue on this. Man, I'm almost getting your dating topic. I'm sorry. This goes so much together, being real. Try to avoid seeing everyone as a possible possibility. Okay, guys and girls? So ladies, let the men hold the door for you. That is part of being a real lady. Like you come up to a door and a guy's there, don't just like run through. Maybe like you see he's going to grab it, just let him grab it and step through. Guys like holding the doors for ladies. And doesn't mean he likes you. Doesn't mean he has a crush on you. Ladies, be approachable, but don't think every guy's hitting on you. Okay? I'm not sure. My wife actually said something about that. I'm not sure exactly how to explain that better. But be approachable. It's okay to sit down with, you know, in a mixed group and have a conversation with the guy. So anyway. I'm actually a big fan of cross-gender conversations in a group. It's really healthy. I would say try to avoid deep cross-gender conversations just one-on-one because what that is, it's causing emotional ties. It's not being a protector for the ladies, guys. It's actually not protecting the ladies. It's actually hurting them. So just throwing that out there. And I want you to learn as you become more real, become more just who God created you to be. See people with feelings and emotions. Especially when you're this side over here talking this side or as you meet that person, just think of them as another person. You'll be a much better protector, much better provider for the opposite gender. And same way here, these guys just have feelings and things just like you girls. Maybe not quite as many feelings, but we still have feelings. So just remember that. Like they're just normal people, so treat them like normal people. Look them in the eye when you talk. Okay, that's very important. All right, let's keep moving here. Okay, here's kind of one of the last questions. How long do I have yet?
10 minutes or 15.
Okay, that's perfect. So here's a question, kind of as we're coming a little bit to a close here. Why is it important to be who God really created us to be? And I want you to really get this and really think about this question. What is the whole point of being real? Is it so God doesn't get bored with all of us? Is it so we can entertain each other better? What is it? This is something we need to get. My first one is it brings God glory when you're who he created to be. It's such a beautiful thing. Another thing is God has a plan he wants you to fulfill. And you're actually, with your little personality, your little weirdness, God wants to use you just like you are for something very, very specific. So he loves you just like he created you and has a purpose for it. Okay, connect with people in your own way. And this is something, as you become more the person who Christ created you to be, you walk more with him, you're going to begin to connect with people in your own way. And I'm going to share some stories here. God's been showing me very plainly that I need to start doing this and quit trying to be like this other person, how this other person tells people about Jesus or helps people. It's just do this in your way. I often connect with people. So God gave me, don't say he gave me the gift of talking. I don't know if that's a gift, but ever since I'm little, I like to run my trap. Okay? So, and I used to literally just run it to hear myself talk, especially when I was just around family and friends. Other people maybe didn't know that as much. But I still enjoy talking with people. And God has been showing me, stop just talking with people, but actually speak into people's lives and hear them. Like, use you like talking, so use that for my glory. Okay, well, what if you don't like talking? Well, that's okay. You can maybe ask some good questions. Good questions are the key to actually good conversations, if you didn't know that. So maybe ask some good questions and then sit and listen. That person will still feel heard. So this guy is a concrete driver. And this looks almost exactly like the guy that happened to me last month. We were doing a little concrete job. And this guy pulled up. And we were ready to pour. And he was running a little bit late. And so I was like, hey, is there any way you can get your concrete truck right up where we need to pour? And it was kind of a hill. And the guy said, man, I can't do that. Well, he didn't say it in proper English. He was cussing every other word. And he could barely speak English because of his cussing. Anyway, so but he wasn't mad, really, but that's just the way he was. Anyway, so he said, well, I'll try. I was like, man, if you could do it, that would really save us some time instead of getting a skid loader and hauling concrete. And you can see here, he's a buff dude. He got his tattoos. He's got a tough guy look. And he said, I'll try backing up the hill, but if it doesn't work, we're going to have to go to plan B. So he tried backing up and didn't make it. He's scared he's going to roll his truck. So I said, well, don't worry about it. We'll get the skid loader here as soon as possible. So it was going to take about 20 minutes. So he actually parks his truck and comes up to where we're working. And this guy, he's a tough guy. You know, he's pretty rough. He's trying to make a tough guy persona, you know, impression. And so he's cussing like crazy every other word. Not in a mad way, but just how he was. And I don't always do this, but I was like, hey, man, I said, don't cuss around my crew. And, I mean, you know, cussing in moderation, right? I'm joking. But I felt like I should say something, and he's like, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm serious. And he quit just like that. Boom, quit cussing. We kept talking, and he was actually fun to talk to. And we poured the concrete, and, you know, concrete got to set up a little bit. So he was on my mind the whole time. There was a reason that he was the way he was, okay? So I'd use my tongue to just ask him to stop cussing. And I was like, I got to go talk to him more. God was like, use this little thing you do called talking and go talk to him more. We poured the concrete. He's down there cleaning up his truck. And told Andrew, I said, I'm going to talk to that guy. That guy's a hurting man. And so anyway, I went down there and I started the conversation. I forget exactly how I started it. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, I said, what are you dealing with? I just want you to know that I shared Jesus with him a little bit. And I asked him, you know, what are you dealing with? And he sat down on the steps of his concrete truck. And he's like, well, he said, this is none of your business. But I'll tell you anyway. And soon my ears perked up when they say that. It's none of your business. And keep talking. It's going to be interesting. And he got all serious. And he said, I was raised in San Francisco, I think it was, on the streets. And I was raised really rough. He said, I've seen unbelievable things. He said, I married the lady of my, I think he's married the lady of his dreams. They were together, I think, 12 years and had one or two children together. He said, in 2020, which is 4 years ago, he said, we got a little bit of a spat and she left the house kind of upset. And she was walking across the road. She parked her car and was walking across the road to go in somewhere. And a car hit her 60 miles an hour and killed her instantly. And he said, that just left me devastated. He said, she was like, we were together for life. We stuck up for each other. We were not planning to be unfaithful to each other. He said, this was the one. And I was like, oh man, like I hardly had any words. And he's just telling me some more stuff he's dealing, that was happened. And then he said, so I decided I got to move out of San Fran and move over here down south a little more, southeast. And he said, I moved here and actually met this Southern Belle from, I think it was Nashville. He said, a wonderful lady. And we got together, and he said, within about 2 years, she died of liver disease. And like, this just happened in 2023. She just died. And I was like, I was starting to actually tear up a little bit, and I just put my hands on him. I was like, man, I don't even know what to say, man. You've just been through so much. And he was actually starting to tear up a little bit too, this tough guy. And I started realizing where this guy is coming from. This guy has some serious hurts in his life, some serious stuff that I wouldn't even, as a Christian, how would you even handle that hardly, except taking it to Jesus? So we finished talking there, and he's not a believer. But I asked him if I could pray for him. He said, sure. So I prayed with him, and he kept talking a little bit. Actually, before I prayed, he kept talking. He said he is seeing, like, he said he knows there's a spiritual world. He's been seeing that a lot recently. God's bringing stuff into contact with him. And I was like, yeah, Jesus is real. Like, he really does want you. And I say, it's okay to have some questions. But I said, keep seeking. Just keep seeking. So that was my little experience, how God wanted me to use this thing I have called talking to just keep reaching out. And he's been doing that all just crazy stuff, asking me to do crazy things. This was about a month ago. This lady was, this is, AI generated, but looked kind of like this. She was probably 45, looked like she was close to 55 or 60. And I was stopping at the gas station just down the road from us, and she was buying beer on like a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. And she was right there and walking past us like, man, you must be having a rough week buying beer this early. And she said, yeah, it is. And then I step outside. I was pumping diesel in my truck. And she was over here in the car just right over. And I just got to talking a little bit with her. Forget how I got it started. But once again, God was saying, look, just start talking to this lady. I said, all right, I'll start talking. I don't even know what to say, but I'll just start talking. So I did. And we got talking about beer. That was interesting. Then I asked her if she ever tried, I said, if you're having a rough week, have you ever tried marijuana? Oh, her face lit up. And I said, actually, I'm just joking. I said, I don't need marijuana. I have Jesus. And we kind of shuffled the conversation from marijuana to Jesus. And by the time it was all said and done, she had shared, she was having a rough time of it. Some of her family or someone, I'm not sure if someone had died or had sickness, and she was dealing with it with alcohol and stuff. So we had a word of prayer together. She went on her way. I went on my way. And that was just another instant where God said, just, I want to use you to reach this person. So for you, that's going to look different. Okay, that's going to look a little different than the stories I shared. But you're going to meet some people this next month, and God's going to ask you to use your personality to reach those people. And it's really hard to do this, to be who God wants us to be, if we can't just be really real. So as you be real, God's going to start using you in your way to do that. We're going to finish with this. So as you continue growing this thing of being real, it's a journey we're all on. I want to encourage you, keep walking in the light, keep living in forgiveness, finding healing in Jesus, and keep encouraging people. And one day when you're done, when you go home, I don't know when you'll die, but Jesus is going to meet you, and he's going to be like, welcome home, this is the real deal. And I'm looking forward to that. But you don't have to wait to experience the real thing until you die. You can experience it right here. So anyway, God bless y'all. I'll turn the time back to Julian.